Norman. Norman watched him leave. Fill you in on it if I'm still alive. Well, he could distract himself for a while preparing dinner. He hadn't gone to Publix after lunch, as promised. What could he conjure up out of the pantry for a couple of cheeseless, eggless, milk-free vegetarians? He turned the house back on and asked for random Vivaldi. Music for vegetarianism. He studied the orderly array of boxes, cans, and jars on the pantry shelves, and perhaps was inspired by the music. Italian bean pie. A layered tureen of bean purees, red, white, and green. When you sliced it, it looked like the Italian flag. Taking the three cans from the pantry, he asked the house for the recipe, and it appeared on the screen above the range. Barger, he said, not wanting to use his glasses. He peeled and sliced potatoes and put them on to simmer, and then worked on the three colors of beans, sautéing them variously with onions, garlic, and shallots, and then setting them aside to cool. By then the potatoes were done. He tossed them with Herbes Provence, olive oil, and white wine from the grocery store bowl. He started to pour himself a glass, but then realized this might be the last wine he would taste in this world. He went to the top of the rack and pulled down a 22 Saint-Emilion, maybe a week's salary in a bottle. He pulled the cork and poured a third of the bottle into the largest balloon glass, then carefully preserved the rest of the bottle with nitrogen and knocked the cork back in. The Slidells were pleasant, but they weren't close enough or important enough for a 22 Bordeaux. Everything had to cool for a while, so he turned off the music and carried the wine into his studio. He tuned the cello and ran through the latest partita he'd been developing for The Coming, but he was too distracted to work on it. He turned on a new book of old European folk dances and sight-read his way through Spain and Portugal, sipping wine between pieces. The house reminded him when it was 1600 hours. He carefully spooned the layers of the tureen into a loaf pan, then drained the wine and oil from the potatoes and tossed them with a grind of pepper, a sprinkle of vinegar, and a little more Herbes Provence. He put it all in the refrigerator and left Rory a note saying he was out. If he was late for dinner, make their traditional lettuce and tomato salad, minus the goat cheese. God forbid we should exploit goats. He put on a jacket against the afternoon cool and locked up, went into the garage, slid the heavy gun into its holster, and pedaled away. Plenty of time. He dawdled at the park's exercise trail, watching young and old run and jump and heave and stretch. He should get back into that. Maybe tomorrow, if there is one. He pedaled slowly along the mile-long green belt and then picked up speed as the traffic alongside him slowed, grinding into downtown. Contemplating a new life rule, never be late for a gunfight. Noting that Willie Joe and the lawyer would assume he was armed, they would be protected by armored clothing. Get close enough to shoot for the head. Get Willie Joe and then the lawyer, if you live long enough. Was this the wine speaking? Or just the war? Both, probably. But the gun still felt like a burden, not a partner as it had in the desert. You might just pay them off and save the killing for later if they came back for more. When? They would be sure of themselves then, and more vulnerable.